So in honor of Yom Yerushalayim, which I'm very excited about, which is Chaf Chet Iyar, and somebody showed me, by the way, you know that Tehillim, for those who say Tehillim on a daily basis, is divided up into dates, so that during the course of the year you can cover the entire Sefer Tehillim. So for Chaf Ches Iyar, the Kapitel Tehillim mentions Yom Yerushalayim. It's really interesting.
That's really cool.
And that was organized like hundreds of years ago. But Chaf Ches Iyar is a day in my life that means a lot, because on that day we got the news that Yerushalayim was back in our hands. They liberated Yerushalayim. Let's start from the beginning. First of all, the Ramban in this week's parasha is very, very important. You'll see that's the first, it's the second source on your page. This is the Ramban in Parashas Bechukosai. And you know, Bechukosai is famous for both the brachos and the klolos, unfortunately the tochacha. But there's one pasuk in the tochacha which the Ramban pulls out, and he says that it's not a klola, it's a bracha. Fascinating. He says, Masha Omar Bekan Vishamamu Aleha Oivechem. Okay, that, let me read the pasuk to you. It's in Perek Chavav of Sefer Vayikra, and it's pasuk Lamed Beis. And this is thick, heavy into the klolos. It says, Vashimosi Anias Haaretz. I will make the land desolate. I don't know if you fellows have ever seen a desolate land. You have?
Probably.
Yeah, if you've gone out to the deserts, it's really depressing. Yeah. Especially as the Ramban says, when there's potential for yishuv, for settlement. Vashimosi Anias Haaretz. I'll make the land desolate. Sounds pretty depressing, right? Vishamamu Aleha Oivechem Hayoshvim Ba. And your enemies who dwell therein, for them it will be desolate. Says the Ramban, He Besorah Tova. This is a good tiding. Imagine this is in the middle of the tochacha that can make your hair stand on end. It's so horrible. Mevaseres, which is the name of a town in Eretz Yisrael, if you ever heard of it. Mevaseres, Bechol Hagolios, She'ein Artzenu Mekabeles Oyvenu. This is a declaration that Almighty God makes that proclaims that in all the exiles, the land will never receive, it'll never be friendly, user-friendly for our enemies. The Ein Mekabeles Oyvenu. What does this mean, Ein Mekabeles Oyvenu? How do you understand that Ein Mekabeles Oyvenu? They'll never be able to what? To settle it. Yeah. They'll conquer it. They'll put up their flags and declare that they have sovereign rulership over the land. And so many different peoples were in the land. Even the Crusaders came into the land and declared it as theirs. But one thing is for sure, the land will never accept them. Says the Ramban, V'gamzu ra'aya gdola. This is an unbelievable demonstration to prove havtacha lanu, that the land is ours. That ultimately we will be nigal, we will be redeemed, and we'll return to the land. Ki lo timotze bechol hayishuv, you won't find anywhere on the face of the civilized globe, eretz asher hi tova urechava, such a wonderful land, that's good, that's spacious, tova urechava, like we say, benching every day. And yet, paradoxically, Asher hoisa no sheves ume olam hi chareva kamo. It's a spacious land. It's always been settled, but it's always left desolate. And that's what Eretz Yisrael looks like today. You know, the Ramban himself came to Eretz Yisrael, and he has many writings, even poems, in which he describes the Eretz HaChareva. You know, how desolate it is. Ezra, did you get a page?
Yeah.
So it's always desolate. Says the Ramban, Asher me'oz yatsanu mimena, from the time that we were exiled, our people were exiled from the land, lo kivla uma velashon, the land refuses to accept any nationality, any people. Vekula mishtadlim lo shiva, and all these peoples have attempted one after the other during civilization to settle the land. V'ein l'kel yodam. They've never been able successfully to settle the land. This indicates a relationship between what and what? Between Bnei Israel and the land itself. It's unbelievable. The land, you would say, is an inanimate object. It has no personality. It has no ability to think or make decisions.
I mean, it's talking about all over Israel, though,
no? All over Israel. He's talking about the whole land of Eretz Yisrael. I just find it fascinating that Parshas B'chukosai leads us straight in to the day of Chafres Iyar, because what we're talking about is Eretz Yisrael. Now you'll tell me, well, we're talking about Eretz Yisrael, not Yerushalayim. But we're going to get to that in a minute. I don't know if you went through the Maamar Kamos, but you'll see that there's an intrinsic connection between Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. But be that as it may, I would add this Ramban, if I had the power to the Discovery Program. Did you guys go on Discovery? You know, Eshet Torah runs this Discovery Program where they try to bring proofs to the divine nature of the Torah, the divine origin of the Torah. They bring it from the Kashrus laws and from different things that happened in history, the Nuremberg trials. There are many, many famous pieces in Discovery. I would add this, where the Torah that was written thousands of years ago promises that the land will never tolerate the enemies of the Jewish people. What does that sound like to you?
It's a guarantee.
Okay, guarantee for sure, but what else? Let me give you the paradigm of marriage. Let's say one of the two, whether this spouse or that spouse, has to go on a long trip. And the other spouse that's staying locally will pledge loyalty. Why? What?
It's trust.
Trust, because for so long we'll be separated. And this, in a sense, is a statement on the part of Eretz Yisrael of what?
Trust.
Of loyalty, of trust.
What about the Arabs that live in Eretz Yisrael nowadays?
But they really, you know, you have Bedouins here and there, you know, they live in, you've seen the tents, you know, if you go on your way to En Gedi or Stone.
East Yerushalayim, though, they own it.
But they never really produced anything in the land. Do you know, Rabosai, when was the first time since Golus that the land began to produce? When who came back? Yidden with buds and payas? Who came back? Which Jews came back?
Not
for me. No, they were chalutzim. Little did they understand, I think, that they were doing the Ratzon of Hashem, that they were the conduits to the divine redemption, the process of divine redemption. The one who had the perception to see this was Rav Kook. He understood that whether they're religious or not, in the classical sense, they are fulfilling the will of God. And all of a sudden, the land started producing. You know, this land that we describe as Eretz Zavas Cholu Dvash for thousands of years, it's Kotz V'Dardar Tatzmiach, it's desolate. And it's all based on this week's parasha, on the promise that the land will remain loyal, like a wedding situation. There's an intimate relationship between Eretz Yisrael and the people of Israel. Now let's jump over to Yerushalayim for a minute. The Ramban has something to say about Yerushalayim as well. And this Ramban is in Parshas Lech Lecha. You remember after Avraham Avinu goes out with his great armies of 318 soldiers against the great kings of the civilized world, who comes out to greet him at the end of that whole episode? Do you remember that? What was his name? You'll see it on the top of your page. Who comes out to greet Avraham Avinu after he's victorious? You know, he frees his nephew Lot and he defeats all these great kings. And all the names of the kings are written here. But one particular king of one particular city comes out to greet him. Who's that?
In Eretz Yisrael.
In Eretz Yisrael. Malki Tzedek. Now we have to understand what Malki Tzedek means. What is the name Tzedek? Tzedek means justice, but he's called the king over justice. But what's the name of his location? Melech Shalem. And Chazal say, what does Shalem refer to?
Yerushalayim.
Excellent. Says the Ramban, Melech Shalem hi Yerushalayim. Ki inyan shenemar, he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Vahi b'shalem suko, and that pasuk is referring to Yerushalayim. So we have now the king of Yerushalayim. Very interesting. Because we think in Yerushalayim in Jewish terms. Now we're talking about a non-Jewish king dating back to the time of Canaan. But apparently, Yerushalayim played a role even at that time in history. And the Ramban says, Ki me'az. Okay, me'az means what? Literally since then. But what is the word az is full of meaning and deeper meaning. It's like a code word. Me'az means what? From the time of the Kadmonin, maybe even the time of Adam HaRishon, it really goes back. Yadu HaGoyim. Who we talk about recognizes Yerushalayim at its significance? The Goyim. Ki HaMokom Ahu, that place which is called Sholem, which is now called Yerushalayim, Mivchar HaMakomos, it's the choice of places, and it's Be'emtza HaYishuv. Now this is very strange, because if the Ramban means literally the Yishuv being the globe, we know that Yerushalayim is not located right in the middle of the globe. But nevertheless, the people of the earth, and we're talking about Goyim now, recognize me'az that this place is Mivchar HaMakomos, Be'emtza HaYishuv. Then he gives a second shot. Maybe they didn't know it was Mivchar HaMakomos, the choicest of places on the earth. They didn't know it was Be'emtza HaYishuv. But Yadu Ma'aloso B'Kabola, they had some sort of tradition, and this is fabulous to think about a tradition for the Goyim. You know, we don't think it, the word Kabbalah usually is associated with the Jewish people, have an old transmission, old tradition. But now he's associating with the Goyim. And what did the Goyim know on the Kabbalah? Shu Mechuvan Keneged Beis HaMigdash Shalmala. Wow. They knew that this is the place that's directly connected with a straight line to the Beis HaMikdash of Mal. By the way, who is the first person in history to bring a karban in Yerushalayim? Keneged Beis HaMikdash of Mal. It was Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon himself, who came later?
Cain Hevel
and Noach, straight down the generations. And not only is it Mechuvan Keneged Migdash Shal Mala, Shom Shechinaso Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that place, the Divine Shechina is present. And the name for the Divine Shechina, in this context, Shenikra Tzedek. So we understand why this Melech Shalom is called Malki Tzedek, because Tzedek equals Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim equals the Makom Shechina, and Tzedek equals Shechina. This is the place that's Mechuvan Keneged Beis HaMikdash. I have here a commentary on the Ramban. It's called Ramban HaMevuar, and it was published by Rav Aaron Fisher. I'll just read to you what he says here on this Ramban. HaGoyim HaKadmonim, the early non-Jews, that's the Bnei Noach, Karu LYushalayim Shalem. By the way, what does the word Shalem mean? Full, complete, perfect, shleimut. Me'achar v'hinim tzeit b'kav ha-shoveh. Okay, I don't know what this kav ha-shoveh is. U'mizgah ha-tivi mimutza. I'll try to translate those three words as best I can. The complexion, or the atmosphere, ha-tivi, natural atmosphere, is mimutza. Mimutza means it's not to one extreme or to the other extreme. I don't think he's talking about what we call meteorological conditions. You know, you go on the WINS, you know, to find out, you know, whether they predict it's going to rain tomorrow or snow, or it's going to be hot weather or cold weather. I mean, half the time they're wrong anyway, but I don't think that's what he's referring to. The teva that he's referring to, which is memutza, I think has something to do with the personality of man. He says, Chol ha-memutza b'mizgo, any person whose mezeg, that means his inner chemical, emotional balance, is memutza. It's not this extreme or that extreme. Who's sholem? He's called a sholem. L'fisha eino note l'ktzavot. Anybody know what ktzavot means? Min ha-kotze la-kotze? The plural of the word kotze is ktzavot. No, kotze la-kotze. From one extreme to the other extreme. He's between two poles. Anybody know what that means in the Rambam's term when you speak about being in the middle between the two poles? The Rambam has this famous principle which he codifies in many different places in Hilchos Deis. He has it in his famous Shmona Prakim, which is an introduction to Pirkei Avos.
He says a person shouldn't be on one stream.
Right. What's that called? The golden
middle.
The golden mean or golden middle, right? The Shvil Azaha. The Derech HaMemutza. You know, shouldn't be too extreme in one direction. You shouldn't be a kaisan that you get angry, and you shouldn't be callous and unemotional. You should be right there in the middle. Ube Medrash Darshu, he quotes a Medrash Rabbah, Ki Tzedek Nikres Yushalayim. That Tzedek is a synonym for Yushalayim. Why is Tzedek referring to Yushalayim? Upirish be Yifei Torah. The Yifei Torah is one of the classical commentaries on the Medrash. Ki Eretz Yisrael hi Bekav Hashava. Those who are born in Eretz Yisrael have this mezeg memutza, that the personality, the qualities, the traits are right down the middle, not to one extreme or not to a different extreme. Very interesting. You know, the Ramban in Parsha Shmini, in the laws of Kashrus, he says, you are what you eat. Do you remember we discussed this once before? And the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his wisdom, tells us what's healthy for us, what's not healthy for us, to avoid nevela and treif and dam, and shkatz and remusim, because you are what you eat. He's saying now, in this Ramban, you are where you live. The land itself and its qualities have an impact on the personality of those who live therein. And since you live in a land of Eretz Yisrael, which is Mezeg Memutza, therefore it's going to be the Teva of Anoshim, Lihi Moshech, to be impacted, Bitchunosam, in their traits, Ubimidosam, and in their attributes, Lifi Teva Ha'aretz. It's very interesting. You know, there's a law in America, I don't know if they ever repealed it, that if you weren't born here in this country, you can't run for president. Did they repeal that?
No, it's still a law.
It's still a law. Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, this concept of where you, what?
You can't be a policeman either.
Right? Really? So it's so interesting. Yeah. You could become a foreign national naturalized? Is that the word? When you join a country and you...
Nationalized,
okay. So you can be nationalized as an American, no matter where you're born, but you can't run for president. It seems that even the goyim understand that where you're born is important. It sets something up about the person. Here too, if you're born in Eretz Yisrael, then you're impacted by the tchuna, by the nature of that land. He says, Nimtza shamakam azeh, which is called Tzedek, that's Yushalayim, matzdik es yoshvav. It puts those who settle therein into this state of justice. Justice really means a balance between two polar extremes, where you try to find the right path in the middle. Ulefi zeh melech sholem, melech tzedek, heim shemos nirdofen. These are synonymous terms, because sholem is Yerushalayim and tzedek is Yerushalayim. Shohayim melech hamakom shebo hakol shovim memutza ben haktzava. So tzedek and sholem means perfection and justice, and those are two adjectives that describe a perfect land that impacts on those who live there. So what do you expect would happen if the word gets out on the street that Yerushalayim, in terms of its nature, its climate, is the best place to live in?
Everyone's
going to go there, right? That's really interesting. Everyone's going to go there. So I want to quote to you a Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. Do we have it?
Yeah. No, it's finished.
Okay, I'm really excited about this Rambam. The Rambam says the following. He says, it is known that the idolaters, this is in the third book of the Rambam's guide, in chapter 45, the Rambam writes that the idol worshippers, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, sought to build their temples and set up their idols in the highest places that they could find there. And this the Rambam bases on a pasuk in Devarim. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis. He says, Avram, Avinu, singled out Har HaMoriah because of its being the highest mountain in that area. And that's where he proclaimed the unity of God. And he defined the direction towards which one should turn in prayer. And the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh Kodashim, Kodesh Kodashim, is in the west. Fine. Then he says, at that time, he's going back to the time of Avraham, the opinion generally accepted in the world was to the effect that the sun should be worshipped, that it is the deity. There's no doubt that men turned when praying towards the east. Avraham Avinu, when praying on Har Moriah, in the sanctuary, towards the west, would turn his back upon the sun. What do you think Avraham Avinu is trying to symbolically convey by turning his back upon the sun? That the sun has nothing to do with the control of our world. We don't worship the sun. Chas v'shalom, that's idol worship. Okay. Fine. He says, in my opinion, there is no doubt that the place singled out by Avram, in virtue of a prophetic inspiration, was also known to Moshe Rabbeinu and to many others. For Avram had recommended to them that that place should be a house of worship. Notice that should be the Beis HaMikdash. And that's where Avram prayed. But the fact is, listen carefully, that this place is not stated explicitly when mentioned in the Torah. Notice the Torah conceals the exact location of the place, of this place which is going to be the Heichal Hashem, the Mokom HaMikdash, the place where we pray to. And rather, the Torah calls it HaMokom Asher Yivchar Hashem. How would you translate that? But where is it? God chose a place, but where is it? The Torah doesn't say it. Says the Rambam, Madua lo hizkira b'feirish haTorah v'lo yichdo el nirmaz olav. What does nirmaz mean? It's only an allusion, a hint. V'nema asher yivchar Hashem. And the Rambam offers the following answer. He offers a number of answers to this question, but the most fascinating to me is the third answer. The Rambam says, Hashlishis, the third answer to this question, why God concealed the name of the place, V'yayoser Chashuva, this is the one that the Rambam gives the significance to, Kidei shelo yivakesh kol uma shiyeze nachaloso. He says, each nation would claim the area to itself. V'yachziku bo ha'amim v'ilachmu olav milchama kasha. He says, lest the nations, he says in the footnote, the pagan peoples, should hold fast to that place and fight for it with great violence. You know, send the military armies to conquer that area, knowing as they do where this place is, and it's the final purpose of the law on earth. Could you imagine? Everybody's going to fight for this. Therefore, the command was given that the chosen temple should be built after the elevation of a king, in other words, after meaning Melech, meaning after the Jewish people settle in the land, appoint a king, so my friends, what's going to happen if the exact location of the Har Moriah and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be revealed to all the nations?
They're going to try to get it.
They're going to try to conquer the land and establish it as their own. Could you imagine? You know, the United States lands on the moon, and what's the first thing they do? Put up a flag, right? This is ours. We conquered it. So all the nations of the world are going to converge. There's going to be a major war, battle over this land. So, in order to avoid a situation where the peoples of the earth will claim ownership over the Har Moriah, over the Mokom HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed the land. Concealed the exact location. I want to ask you a question. I'm off on a tangent for a minute. Which was the first perek you ever learned in Talmud, in Shas? Eil Metzias, me too. Fourth grade, Eil Metzias. About lost object. Eighth grade, okay. They started out to be precocious.
No,
I don't know, it was fourth grade or fifth grade, I don't remember.
I learned that when I from Skokie.
Oh, okay. You were in a place where there weren't Skokie.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. If somebody finds a lost object, he's obligated to what?
Return
it. But anyone can come and claim it? As their own? And you give it to him and fulfill the mitzvah? He needs to see. He's got to identify. Okay. An identification mark is, if I claim ownership on something, I have to tell you what's unique about the object and what it looks like, and it has a line here, and it has a color here, and so forth and so on. But the Gemara has a very interesting question. What happens if I cannot identify the object by some mark, by some simon that makes it unique, but I can tell you where you found it? Does anybody know what that's called in Bava Metzia? I can't tell you where I can't identify it in terms of a mark, but I can tell you where you found it. I lost it here, and that's where you found it. You know what that's called? Yeah, Makom Hafi Simon or Lo Hafi Simon. The Gemara vacillates back and forth. We paskin that Makom Hafi Simon, that you can win back ownership and prove, establish that it's yours based on Makom.
Yeah, but then how come when you put up a sign about something you found a pencil in base measures? Like,
okay, so that comes under it.
Or if Ezos came and said it was on that table over there, would that narrow?
Right, point? Maybe that would be enough.
The bus stops, if it was how I found a blue coat here, the bus stop.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's what
sounds
like
it.
Like that would
so that's because we're not really doing it based on Makom Hafi Simon. We're hoping that someone will come by and give a simon on it and tell us what the blue coat looks like. Maybe the name of the manufacturer, maybe how many buttons it has, who knows. But we pass him Makom Hafi Simon. Why do I quote to this halacha when we deal with Yerushalayim as HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem?
It's ours.
But the nations of the world are claiming it's ours. The Christians claim they own it, yeah, and the Arabs claim they own it. Every nation in the world wants this, as the Rambam says.
We lost it. We have a simon.
We have the makom.
Yeah, exactly. We have something that's a tradition that's been handed down from Avraham Avinu straight through the generations till Moshe Rabbeinu and down to David HaMelech. When God HaNavi tells David HaMelech, this is where you're going to build Yerushalayim, this is where the Makom HaMikdash will be located, he was just revealing that which he had been transmitted over the years, but David HaMelech needed the final approval of a Navi. Because HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha L'Shachin Shmoshom, that requires a Navi. But the Navi is playing the role of La'asher, to certify. But we have claim to this land.
But
we know where it is.
But our simon, they go home or something. As in, like, that'd be like saying, like it's my coat, I know because it's wool. But if you don't know that the coat's wool, then that simon's useless.
But you know what? You remind me of the first Rashi in Chumash. And the first Rashi in Chumash says, why did the Torah give us all braces? Should have started with HaChodesh HaLachem. Because the nations of the world are going to accuse us of being listed. We're taking Eretz Yisrael. Koach amav higid liamav. Koach maisav higid liamav, Rashi says. It means that we're going to prove that we have a justified claim to Eretz Yisrael against all the nations, because God created the world. He's the owner. He's the Baal HaBayit. He gave the land to us. Are the goyim going to buy into that?
No.
But what's the answer? Really, who is this Rashi written for?
Us.
Correct. It's written for us. Because unfortunately, tragically, we have Jews today who don't believe that we have a valid claim to the land. So we need to convince ourselves. You know, da b'fnei mi ata'omi means da. You should know that there's an apikoros within you, and you have to deal with that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that ammunition. Number one, he tells us that God created the world, and he decided that this land is for us. Number two, God designated a certain place, which is Mechuvan Keneged Migdash Al Mala, which is the Makom Asher Asah Shechina. It's in the west, and this is where we have to pray, and this is where our prayers go up on high. And how do we know it's ours? Because we have a tradition that was passed on from Avraham Avinu through the generations. Makom Hafi Simon. And we have to know that the land is ours, because the land remains loyal to us throughout all the centuries. The Shavua, the Torah says, and the Rabban says, it's ours. But fascinating is that the peoples of the earth, both according to the Ramban in Chumash, the way he interprets it with the Yafei Torah and Medrash, and according to the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, the peoples of the earth actually appreciate Yerushalayim. We know this to be true today. What nation of the world is not claiming Yerushalayim? That's why the greatness of Chochas Iyar is that that day is a siman min hashamayim to undermine all the claims of the other religions. Do you remember we spoke on Yom HaTzmaut about the Rav Soloveitchik has the Sheish Tfikot, and we said that one of the Tfikot, the greatness of the state of Israel, is that it completely undermines the Christian theological claim that God has forsaken us as a people, and from the time of Golus, of exile, they are the chosen people, Chasrom, and we're not. And every time that a Christian opens up, a devout Christian who knows theology, there are very few of them today, but who opens up a newspaper and he sees, you know, the Israeli state, the Jewish state is mentioned on the front cover of the paper, it irks him. Do you remember we discussed that? It's the same thing with Yerushalayim. It's not Hey-Iyar, but it's Chafchet-Iyar. Chafchet-Iyar is a great day in which the promises of all the centuries that indicate that the land is ours and it's a divine promise are coming to fruition. But I'll ask you the question. We spoke about Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban in this week's Parasha B'chukosai, and we spoke about Yerushalayim. What's the connection between Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael? And here I want to share with you something absolutely stunning about the nature of Yerushalayim. We're going to start with the Mishnah Masechta Kelim. It's the third source on your page. This Mishnah is very, very famous. Does anybody know what this Mishnah sets out in front of us? A certain, like a map, almost a chart. A chart of what? Of what?
Kedusha Eretz Yisrael.
Correct, and specifically, what aspect of Kedusha Eretz Yisrael? Are we talking about a uniform aspect, or are we breaking it down?
Bringing
that
10.
10 different what?
Levels,
exactly. The 10 levels. Esser Kedusha, say. And it goes from Eretz Yisrael on the bottom, all the way to Bein HaKruvim in the Kodesh Kadoshim on the top. And the Mishnah in Kalim illustrates each one of these levels by telling you, Mein Nafkamina, how does that Kedusha reflect itself and express itself? So the Mishnah now, starting with Eretz Yisrael, wants to answer the question, how does the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael express itself? What is the Nafkamina al-Pi Din, al-Pi Halacha, to that sanctity of Eretz Yisrael? And what's the answer of the Mishnah? What's limited to Eretz Yisrael? Mimena?
Omer.
Right, Mevi'a Mimena, Omer? Okay, somehow the Girsa Bikurim, we'll come back to that Girsa. Ushte Alechem. When is the Omer brought? On what holiday? Pesach and the Shtei Lechem, a week from today, according to our calendar, on Chag HaShavuos. Now, if I need to bring the Omer from a particular grain, which grain is that? The Omer is barley, and the Shtei Lechem is wheat. Where does that barley or wheat have to grow?
Israel.
Only in Eretz Yisrael. Ein Mevi'in Mikol Haratzos. We cannot bring wheat or barley from any nation of the earth except Eretz Yisrael. That proves that Eretz Yisrael has what?
Kedusha.
I have a question for you. If the Mishnah is addressing the question, how do I reflect, express the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? The only answer you come up with is Omer and Shtei Lechem? Those are the only mitzvos that reflect upon the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? What mitzvahs would you have come up with?
Korban Shemitah.
Shemitah, good. What else?
All the plant
Yovel, correct, the agricultural mitzvahs. Give me a few of them. Okay, Arlo is a little complicated because there's Arlo in Chutz Laretz because of Halacha Moshe Sinai. But where would you start? Shrumos, Maestros, Leket Shikha Peah. There's so much, and yet the Mishnah could only come up with Omer and Shtei Lechem. Maybe Bikurim according to one gives.
Probably not. If there's 100 things, you're just going to pick two. Like, there's probably a reason why they pick these two.
Okay, so that's all we're looking for. Rav Soloveitchik has an unbelievable chiddush, and it's brought down by Rav Schechter in his sefer called Nefesh HaRav, which is a wonderful sefer, and I recommend everyone to get a hold of it. The Rav says that there are two dimensions to Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And if you'll ever study Eretz Yisrael as a halachic topic.
Physical and spiritual.
Okay, that's good. But we're talking halachic terms now. So you gotta put on your halachic thinking cap. So first, there's something called karka, which means agricultural produce. And Eretz Yisrael is sanctified first by Yoshua and then later on by Ezra at the time of Olei Bavel. It's sanctified with what's called Kedushas Karka. And anything that grows in the Karka generates a mitzvah by virtue of the Kedushas Karka of Eretz Yisrael. There's another Kedusha. And that Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is Kedushas Migdash. In other words, the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash, although concentrated in one area, spreads, expands.
Takes from the Kedushas of the Karka and also.
Yeah. Okay, you're a step ahead. Excellent. What we're saying is that all the mitzvahs, Hatlius Ba'aretz, reflect on the Kedushas Karka of Eretz Yisrael. But if you want to analyze the Kedusha of Migdash, as it expands to encompass all of Eretz Yisrael and its borders, then you have to look for something within Eretz Yisrael that reflects on Migdash, that connects all of Eretz Yisrael to the base on Migdash. And that's what the Mishnah in Kelim came up with. Omer and Shtei Alechem Mevino Sa Elim Eretz Yisrael. That indicates that the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael in Karka goes beyond Karka, is not limited to the Mitzvah Tulius Ba'aretz, but rather reflects on Migdash. The Kedusha of the Migdash expands beyond the walls of the Migdash to encompass all of Yerushalayim and all of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Shtei Alechem, which is brought on the Mizbeach, and the Omer, which is brought on the Mizbeach, has to come from Eretz Yisrael. What about Bikurim? So Bikurim, I want you to know, is a fascinating discussion in the Sugya in Bava Basra on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Take a look. The Torah in the Parsha Bikurim in Kitavo says, "Asher tovi mi'artzecha." Bikurim have to be brought from Eretz Yisrael. And what does this pasuk exclude? L'me'utei chutz la'aretz. So somebody owns a farm out in Ohio or in California or in Washington, wherever it is, and they want to bring Bikurim. They can't. Why? Because the Torah says, "Asher tovi mi'artzecha." So Tosus right away asks a kasha. We should all be asking this kasha. Tema. Am I itzrich mi'uta? Why do you need a yalfusa to exclude chutz la'aretz? Ha'amina b'sof perikam of the Kedushin called mitzvah shituya ba'aretz. Any mitzvah that depends upon the karka, it's agricultural in nature. Einan oheges el ba'aretz. So what do you need a pasuk to teach me that bikurim could only be brought from Eretz Yisrael? I know that. That's just a case in point that reflects a general universal rule that karka, any mitzvah that's agricultural in nature, is only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. You need a pasuk for that. Asher tovi mi'artzecha l'me'utei chutz la'aretz. And Tosfos offers two different answers that are fundamentally different. The first answer in Tosfos is Einochinam. Bikurim, like any other mitzvah tliya b'karka, certainly is limited to Eretz Yisrael. I need a pasuk for a technical reason. We'll see that technical reason in just a minute. But I want to call to your attention Tosfos' second answer. He says, Ula Rashba Nire, this is about six lines down in the Tosfos, Dolo Chashivi Bikurim Mitzvah Hatluya Baretz. That Bikur is not the same as all the mitzvot that depend upon karka. The lo dami with truma umaiser v'chala. The hasam guf haperos mechayvim betruma. Because halacha is that these peros as they grow are called teva, which means they generate a chi of truma umaiser. Or in the case of chala, a chi of chala. The asurim b'achila. L'kach hashuv mein tvuyim b'artzal bikurim. Ein achiyuv toli b'peros, el ba'adam. The ein esaram b'achiyuv, bikurim doesn't generate any sort of isra achiyuv, achiyuv is tevel, but rather the gavra, the person, is chayuv to bring bikurim. So maybe I'm chayuv to bring bikurim anywhere in the face of the earth. The peros and the kak from which they grow are just a hechetimtza, they're just a means to get bikurim. Bikurim means the first fruits. So if I'm a farmer out in mid-America and I have my first fruits of the first crop of the year, I go out and I bring bikurim. Says the Rashba, bikurim is not a mitzvah, it's liberetz Israel. And therefore, logically, it should apply even in chutz laretz, except for the pasuk. That's why he justified the need for the pasuk. Asher tavi mi'artzach halimutei eretz Yisrael. The first day in Tosa says name. Bikurim is a classical mitzvah hatzliya ba'aretz. It's like trumas and maisers. We only need the pasuk for technical reasons because in the parsha of Bikurim, it also says basa b'cholov. It says Reishis Bikuri Ad Mascha. This is in Shmos Chav Gimel. Lo Sevashel Gdi B'Chalevi Mo. And based on Lo Sevashel Gdi B'Chalevi Mo, which is the Isur Basa B'Chol, that's knowing anywhere on the face of the globe, it's not limited to Eretz Yisrael. I would think that Bikurim is also, by virtue of this Gzeir Shava, applicable even in Chutzot. So I need a pasuk to exclude it. But basically, what's the nature of Bikurim according to the first day in Tosis? It's a classical case of mitzvah tuliy bar.
Why don't we say that? I mean, that klal of mitzvah shi tuliy baaretz and hagidah baaretz. Why don't we say? I mean, that needs to like come from somewhere. So why don't we say like bikurim is a classic example of that it's tuliy baaretz and needs to be in the arts.
Well, for that we'd have to open up the Gemara Kiddush, which I don't have in front of me, but I believe that the sugya derives the halach of tuliy baaretz in the Mishnah Kiddushin from specifically mudim. You know, that's the given. That's the yesod, and that's the principle.
I just learned this here. No,
yeah. But also, if we come back now to the Mishnah and Kalim, and I told you the two gersos as to whether we should include Bikurim together with Shteil Lechem and Omer, or we should leave it out, how would you plug in this girsa issue to the two deis and tosos?
Well, it's Tuli Baretz. Then you would say then it would be included. But it's not.
Should be if it's mitzvah tuliy baaretz, should be included or excluded? Right, should we leave it out or include?
If it's tuliy baaretz, then it should be included.
So like let's get over. The mitzvah tuliy baaretz, like trumas and maisers and shmita and yovel and leket shekampeh, are not mentioned in the Mishnah Bikurim. Because the Mishnah Bikurim is looking on what facet? Is it the Kedushas Karak and the Mitzvah Tuliy Baaretz, or is it looking at Migdash?
Migdash.
So if Bikurim is excluded in Chutz Laretz, in Washington, why? Because it's a Mitzvah Tuliy Baaretz, like Trumas and Maisers, then the Giris is incorrect. We have to drop the word Bikurim. But if we say that Bikurim was excluded for a separate reason, not because it's a mitzvah tuliy baaretz. So we can say the separate reason is that since the bikurim have to be brought on the mizbeach, they represent kedushas mikdash, and the kedushas mikdash expands and permeates to incorporate all of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore bikurim have to be brought only from Eretz Yisrael. And so far as Eretz Yisrael represents kedushas mikdash. Okay. Now let's come back to our original discussion. We started our discussion with Ramban and Parshas Bukhu Kosai about the special nature of Eretz Yisrael. Then we went over to the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha about the special nature of Yerushalayim. And now we're asking the question, is there any connection between Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael? And what's the answer?
Yeah.
There is. Because what is the nature, what is the essence of that quality called Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? Kedushas Mikdash. Mikdash expands not only to include all of Yerushalayim, but also to include all of Eretz Yisrael. By the way, where do we see the halacha that Yerushalayim itself, even outside the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, has a separate kedusha? Does anybody know what we're allowed to eat in Yerushalayim that we can't eat outside Yerushalayim? Maaser Sheni, and also Kodshim. Kachim Kalim, what we call. So, for example, Kachim Ein Echolim Elav Yerushalayim in all the year. We say it in from the Mishnah in Zvachim if you say the Karbonos, right before Baruch Shomai. So, Yerushalayim certainly has an expanded status of Migdash, that Maaser Sheni is eaten in Yerushalayim and Kachim are eaten in Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim has at least Miktas Kedushas Migdash. And not only that, but Eretz Yisrael in its entirely has a miktas kedushas Yerushalayim, but again, we're going down the levels, you know, down the left. Where do we see that Yerushalayim is considered the Beis HaMikdash? Take a look at the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos in Sukkah. The Mishnah in Sukkah, in the third perek, says, Barishona Lulav Nital B'Migdash Shiva. In the Beis HaMikdash, they took the Lulav, how many days?
Seven.
Why 7 days? After all, the Torah says, only on the first day of Sukkot. Why is it that in Migdash they took the lulav all 7 days? Because it says, "Usmachtem lifnei Hashem alkechem." Lifnei Hashem alkechem means in the base of Migdash, shivas yom. So there are two mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah of usmachtem, which is fulfilled through the dalet minim, but only in lifnei Hashem. And then there's a mitzvah which encompasses the entire globe, and that's called ulkachtem lachem biyom arishon. And that's not applicable all 7 days. It's applicable anywhere in the world, but only for one day. Good. What about Yerushalayim? Does Yerushalayim fit into Gvulim, meaning outside of Migdash, and therefore its mitzvah is only on the first day, like any other place in the world? Or does it have the status of Migdash, where the mitzvah Smachtim of Hashem Alkechem Shivas Yomim expands the mitzvah beyond the first day to include all 7 days? So take a look at the Rambam.
Isn't there a Rabbi that goes to Kotel every day, just so it's...
I don't know who you have in mind, but if he does it, he's following the footsteps of the Rambam. Because look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, when it says in the Mishnah, Barishona Hayaluv Nital B'Migdash Shiva, Ubimedina Yom Echad, says the Rambam, Medina Hishar Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Mirushalayim. Where does the Rambam classify Yerushalayim? As based on Migdash, and therefore, how many days do you have to take the lulav?
7 days.
Of course, we take the lulav even outside of Yerushalayim, all 7 days, because of the takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which is instituted after the Migdash fell. But while the Migdash was standing, the mitzvah of 7 days was limited to the base of Migdash, and according to the Rambam, to Yerushalayim. And the Rambam pulls the same move in a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, the fourth parak, says, Yotiv Shal Rosh Hashanah Shechal Lios B'Shabbos. You remember that we didn't blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, if Rosh Hashanah coincided with Shabbos, except in the Beis HaMikdash. The Migdash, how you talking about Volov Medina? And then, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a special takana that any place on the face of the earth that has a Bezdin, they'll blow the shofar even on Shabbos, when it coincides with Rosh Hashanah. But take a look at the Rambam. He says, Kfar be'arnu l'cha kama pa'omim, I don't know what the kama pa'omim is, I just know in Sukkah, ki migdash, when the Mishnah employs, when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi employs the word migdash, nikreis Yerushalayim kula. It's not limited to the base of migdash, but all of Yerushalayim is considered the base of migdash. Now, I want to call to your attention a Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechirah. This Rambam addresses the question of Kedushas Yerushalayim in our times. You know, for example, that with regard to Eretz Yisrael, there's a machlokes where the Kidsha L'Shaita V'Kidsha L'Osid Lovo, or Kidsha L'Shaita V'Lo Kidsha L'Osid Lovo. Sugi Gittin. And in other places in Shas. For example, when Yoshua conquered the land of Eretz Yisrael and sanctified it, what happens when the Bavlim come and they exile us from the land and they destroy the Migdash? Does the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael completely...
It's Megillah.
Maybe it's a Megillah too. I know of it from Gittin. But we'll see where it is. It's also in Yuma, it's in many places in Shas. Kedusha Rishona, Kinshel L'Shaita, V'lo Kinshel L'Osid Lovo, or Kinshel L'Shaita, V'Kinshel L'Osid Lovo, and then we have the same issue with regard to Kedusha Shnia, the Kedusha the Oli Bavel. The Rambam, by the way, paskins that Kedusha Rishona, Kinshel L'Shaita, V'lo Kinshel L'Osid Lovo means when the Jews went out to Golos at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, then the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael was completely null and void, but it was reinstituted at the time of Ezra, what we call the Kedusha Shnia, the Oli Bavel. And that Kedusha, the Rambam says, which is not Kibush,
never,
it's not a...
That one
is Kitchel Shaita V'Kitchel Osid Lo. However, what about Yerushalayim? We know that there's a process of Kiddush Yerushalayim. Who is responsible initially to be Mekadosh Yerushalayim? This is a complicated question. It was really a father and son team. David and Shlomo. David sanctified the area, but it was a sanctity that was dependent upon the building of the Beis HaMikdash.
Like I'm afraid.
Correct. And who actually built the Beis HaMikdash?
Shlomo.
The Gemara in Masechta Shavuos, Daf Tezayin, establishes that you need binyan in order to be Mekadesh the Makom HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, and that was implemented by Shlomo. So David, in a sense, David HaMelech set the tone, and God told him exactly where the Makom is, but the ultimate Kiddush was implemented by Shlomo HaMelech at the time that he built the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Kiddushas Mechitzos. Fine. What happens with that Kiddush of Yerushalayim after Churban? There's nothing on the Makom HaMikdash. The place is totally desolate. And the Rabbah paskins that Kiddushas Mikdash is Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Asid Lavo. L'fichach, says the Rabbah, Makrivim karbonos kulam afal bisha ensham bayis banui. This has tremendous implications whether we can be makriv karbonos in our time on the Makom HaMikdash. The ochlim kachay kachim b'chol makom bazar afal bishi chareva. The enemu kefes b'mechitza ochlim kachim kal ma'isushen b'chol Yerushalayim afal bisha ensham chomos shakdusha rishona kitchel shaita v'kitchel osim lava. The Rambam shita is, and this is the sheet of most Rishonim, that the Kedushas Yerushalayim was never Betela. And the original Kedusha and Kiddush of David and Shlomo was Kinshal Shaitim and Kinshal Asid Lavo. There's a long discussion in the Radbaz. It's not here on the page, but elsewhere, the Radbaz has a long discussion about this. I'll mention it to you in the Encyclopedia Talmudit. He makes a big deal about this Radbaz. He quotes the Tashbates, who in Chelek Gimel Siman Reish Aleph has a long essay about the Kedushas Yerushalayim Bizman Hazeh, and it would probably pay for us to go through that. And he quotes the Radbaz that the Kedusha Shnia of Eretz Yisrael at the time of Ezra lo betelu lefishi b'chazaka. And therefore he says that Yerushalayim today has two Kedushas. It has the Kedusha of Shlomo, of Kedusha Rishona, and it also has the Kedusha of Ezra, of Kedusha Shnia. Okay, fine. Now, he writes, L'halacha kasu rov Rishona she'afiz manazel lo b'tele Kedushas Yerushalayim she'kitsh Rishona shal dov Shlomo kitsh al ha'shaita v'kitsh al asid lov. The Yeshmin Arishonim Shekosvu Shekdusha Rishonim Betela. And there's another opinion, which is the Rambam's opinion here in Hilchos Beis HaMechira, that Kedusha Rishonim Lo Kitchel Osim Lo. Fine. But most Rishonim hold like whom? Like the Rambam. And if you add this Rambam to the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos, it really forms an entirely beautiful package, because the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos in two places, in Rosh Hashanah and Sukkah, says that whenever we're talking about Mikdash, we're talking about Yerushalayim. It means that Yerushalayim has Kedushas Mikdash. So just as we say that the Kedushas Mikdash was Kinshal Shaita and Kinshal Asin Lavo, that the Kiddush of David and Shlomo the Beis HaMikdash is eternal, and that's why Makriv and Karbonos, and we can eat Kachim in the Beis HaMikdash, even today, b'churbano, makom churban. So that makes sense to expand that Kedusha to Yerushalayim and say the Kedusha to Yerushalayim today, in our time, still exists, and it wasn't the Tela with the churban. What would be a practical nafkamina? Because after all, we're not in the state of being that we can bring karbanos with tmeim, we can't even bring maaser sheni. So when we say that the Kedusha to Yerushalayim is intact even today, so my nafkamina, we have a churban abayis, but we have the kedusha. We can't bring karbanos, but we have the sanctity. But it seems so abstract. So I believe that there could be a nafkamina, even bismanas. It's based on the sugya masechta ksubas, which is called Hakol Mailu. Okay, I don't know if it's on your page, so I have to put it on your page. I don't know. That's not the Gemara I'm referring to. I'll tell you in just a second what the Gemara says in Ksubis. It's on Kuf Amid Bey, so it's a little bit earlier than that. And the Gemara says, HaKol Mailin LiYushalayim. What does this mean? You know that there's something called a Ksuba. And the Ksuba basically establishes the rights and the privileges of husband and wife in marriage, in Jewish marriage. So the question is, who determines where they should live?
The husband.
Husband wants to live here, she wants to live there.
She wants to live in Israel.
Oh, excellent. So for example, there are all sorts of dinim. She wants to live in a more beautiful place. He wants to live in a dump. She can force him.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Many, many different halachas there in Hilchos Ksuvos. It's all in the sugya.
Yeah.
In Ksuvos Daf Kuf. And the sugya says, I call my Eretz Yisrael. So if she wants to live in Eretz Yisrael and he doesn't, she can force his hand. And if at the end of the day he refuses, he has to divorce her if she wants and give her the ksuba. If on the other hand, flip it around, he wants to live in Eretz Yisrael and she refuses, then he has grounds for divorce and he doesn't even have to pay the ksuba because she's violated the ksuba. What happens if they live in Eretz Yisrael, but one spouse or the other wants to live in Yerushalayim?
Yeah, same thing all the way down.
Hakol Mailim? The Gemara says in Masechta Ksubos, LiYushalayim. And if one of the, so one spouse can force the other to live in Yerushalayim, what if they live in Yerushalayim, one spouse wants to leave Yerushalayim? Ein motziim Yerushalayim. Echad anashim, echad nashim. And therefore, imhu omer lalos, he says, let's go up to Yerushalayim, mishar gvulim, beret sol Yerushalayim. He omer shalol lalos, kofen oso lalos, v'yam lav teitzim l'oksuba. He omer lalos, v'hu omer shalol lalos, kofen oso lalos, v'yam lav yotzi, yotzi v'yiten ksuba. You see that the power of Kedushas Yerushalayim is so great, it's so intense. I understand the power of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, especially with Paskin, Kedushas Shnei, Kinshal Shaita, Vikinshal Asid Lavo. So each spouse can force the other to live in Eretz Yisrael. But now we're saying that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is that much superior to that of Eretz Yisrael that each spouse can force the other to live in Yerushalayim. And this applies even Bizman Hazeh. The Rambam codifies this halacha in Hilchas Ishus. I don't know if we have a Rambam here. It's the Rambam in Hilchas Ishus. I think it's in Perikov Gimel. We'll see where it is.
Is that Gemara in Suvis say that the reason why Yerushalayim is better is because of Kedusha?
Ah, excellent question. What would you suggest?
Because it's not.
You have an alternative?
I mean, it's not necessarily that's because of Kedusha. Like,
oh, Perikin Gimel. I told you Perikov Gimel. It's in Perikin Gimel. Sorry.
Like you said, like if she wants to move to a more beautiful place, or right, a more beautiful place has more Kedusha, it just means okay, that it's a nice place.
What does Yerushalayim have that makes it more beautiful? Other than the sanctity of Yerushalayim?
Mountains.
Mountains, maybe. But you know what? There are mountains all over the world. You know? Base HaMikdash we don't have because we're living at the time after the Churban. So what would be the beauty of Yerushalayim? So I want to read to you a footnote here. Let me read to you this. Kosher Yerushalayim la'alocha af bizman hazeh. So the Rambam paskins, even in our time after the Churban Abayis, nevertheless, hakol mailim liYerushalayim. And we saw this is the Rambam Hilchas Ishus. And the Tashbeitz adds the following. Shekedushas Yerushalayim lo betel. And he even goes as far as to say that there was a minhag in Mitzrayim that they would go to be, they could go up to Yerushalayim to be Ola Regel. He's talking 5 centuries ago. There was a minhag to go on Aliyah Regel to Yerushalayim. Because Kedushas Yerushalayim lo betel. However, Yesh Omrim, listen to this. You remember the Ravid says that Kedushas Yerushalayim no longer is intact today. So some say in the Das HaRavid, and this is going to be a Chiddush of the Radbaz, Afil Das HaRavid, Shekedushas Yerushalayim B'Teilo B'Zman HaZeh, Mikol Makom, we still apply the rule of Hakol Bayim Yerushalayim. Yesh bi yeshivasa mitzvah yoser bi b'shar arei Eretz Yisrael. What's going on over here? And he quotes a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, a tshuva from the Avnei Nezer. And the Avnei Nezer adds, Shesham hikrivu Adam kain vehevel v'noach. Wow, that's interesting. V'Yakov ra'a sham b'chalomo es ha-sulam, sulam mutzav ha-artzav, rosh ha-magiyah shamayma. Where was that? In Yerushalayim. V'ayin pa'as ha-shulchan, he was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, I have his sefer. It's a beautiful sefer because it was published in Tzfat. There are very few sefarim that are published in Tzfat. Shekosav came b'das ha-raivi. Shlohisig el Rambam, he only disagrees with Rambam Din as far as Kedushas Yerushalayim. V'yavam pishe Kedushas Yerushalayim b'teila b'zman hazeh. So there's some sort of milah of living in Yerushalayim, even b'zman hazeh, even if I claim that Kedushas Yerushalayim is b'teila. And this I find very fascinating. That each spouse in marriage has a schus to force the other spouse's hand to live in Yerushalayim, even if I would hold, which is not the sheet of most Rishonim, but the sheet of Raivin, that Yerushalayim is mana zed b'teila kedushasa. And he says in the name of the Avnei Nezer, Sheshavik krivu Adam kain hevel v'noach, and Yaakov Avinu has had his famous chalom about the sulam. And what does Yaakov say when he wakes up? Ain Zeki and Beis Elokim, Zeh Shar Hashemayim. Yerushalayim is called Shar Hashemayim. So all these shuls and chutzlas, which are called Shar Hashemayim, they really absconded. They stole the name from Yerushalayim. The gates of heaven are in Yerushalayim, not here. Chashivusa shel Yerushalayim atzinu shenemar ba af kemakom tefila. That's where the opening is. V'od amru. Listen to this. This is the Gemara in Brachas, I think. Haya omeid b'chutz laretz. He's davening in Chutz Laretz. Yechaven es limo, v'yachzer es ponov. Where? Keneged Eretz Yisrael. He's in Chutz Laretz. Hoya omid be'Eretz Yisrael. Yechaven es limo keneged. Yushalayim shenemar. And he quotes a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. Hoya omid v'yushalayim. Excuse me. V'spalu al Hashem derech ha'ir asher b'charta bo. Correct. And if you're in the base of Migdash, Kineged Kodesh Kodashim. And all this is a sugya in Brachos, and it's also brought down in Yerushalmi. The Rambam codifies this in Perek Chesmi of the Tefillah Halacha Yil. So we have now an interesting Tzvei Dinim in Yerushalayim. There are two dimensions to Yerushalayim. There's Kedushas Yerushalayim. For example, you eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, and you eat Kodshim in Yerushalayim, and all that, says the Rav, applies even Bizman Hazeh, because the original Kiddush of Yerushalayim of Dovin and Shlomo is Kitchel Shaiti v'Kitchel Asid Lomo. That's one aspect of Yerushalayim, as we said before, an extension of Migdash. And then we have another dimension of Yerushalayim, which is not totally in Kedushas Yerushalayim. According to these Achronim, whether it's the Radbaz, whether it's the Chassam Sofer, the Avnei Nezer, they all claim that even the Raivu, who maintains that Kitsha L'Shaita V'lo Kitsha also, that means the Kedushas Yerushalayim is B'Tela L'Inyan Kodshim, nevertheless, there's still a din of HaKol Ma'ala L'Eretz Yisrael because of the Chashimas of Yerushalayim, because of the Makom itself. Even if the Makom doesn't have that technical halachic juridic status of Kedusha, it still has the Cheshivas of Yerushalayim. For example, Yerushalayim is the Makom of Tefillah. It's the Shara Shamayim. It's the place that we always have Kavanah to. If we're in Eretz Yisrael, Mechavin is Livu Yerushalayim. All that applies Bizman Hazeh. It's a beautiful city in a spiritual sense, eternally. And that eternal beauty is not contingent upon the technical halachic status of Kedushas Yerushalayim as a Mikdash Mahat. It's inherent in Yerushalayim. I would call that Kedushas Yerushalayim, but the shame Yerushalayim. And it could be that David HaMelech, even though he didn't build the walls of Yerushalayim, nevertheless his sanctity expanded to include Yerushalayim. But what time do we have to stop? Now?
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, I just want to end. I mean, again, I wanted to go through a Gemara in Ksuvos with you about Rabbi Chiya bar Ganda. We'll have to leave that for another time. But just to end with a story that my father, Zichron Levroch, likes to tell. He heard it when, right after the Six-Day War, he came with a whole delegation of Rabbanim from America to visit the Kotel and Kevar Rachel and all the places that were freed and liberated at the time of the Six-Day War. As I told you at the outset, the Six-Day War changed the lives of my family. I mean, the impact that it had is unbelievable. I mean, from that time on, Shesh Tayamim, my family is existentially connected to Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, my father went on this trip, and this is the story he heard. You have it on your page. I copied it from his book. He says, there was a Jew in Eretz Yisrael who for many years walked in a stooped position. And people thought, they assumed he was suffering from some sort of spinal disorder. But one late afternoon, Mincha time, after the liberation of the Kotel HaMaravi in Yerushalayim, he was observed standing at the Kotel and reciting out loud the Baruch Atah Hashem Zokef Kefufin, thanking God for enabling man to stand erect. Someone who knew him passed by, and surprising voice said to my friend, this bracha is recited upon arising in the morning. It's part of Berachas HaShachar, not late in the afternoon. Now's the time to daven mincha. To which the person replied, you see, I'm a Yerushalmi. At the time that the Holy City and the Kotel fell into the hands of the Jordanians, I took a vow that I would only walk in a stooped position. But now that Yerushalayim and the Kotel are ours again, I can straighten my back. I am now thanking God for being Zokef Kefufin, for straightening my back and enabling to walk in dignity with my head up like a man. The dignity that we get from Yerushalayim is incredible. Everyone should visit Yerushalayim, find every possible moment to get there. We were able to view Yerushalayim, see the beauty of Yerushalayim. And we were just at the, on Sukkot time, we visited the botanical gardens. I don't know if you've ever been. So they have a beautiful thing. On Sukkot, I forget which company right now, it'll come to.
They all have different kinds of Sukkot.
No, that I didn't see. But what I saw was that on this Sukkot, there was a company, I don't know what monies they gave, but botanical gardens, which usually cost, I think, 35 shekel per head, was free. The whole of Yerushalayim came to the botanical gardens, and the weather was stupendous. And it's really something to see all of Yerushalayim, I mean, the different kinds, the different peoples, the different dresses, and where they come from, and the different languages. It was amazing. And then we got to one part where there was a big sign, Kan Mivarchim Birchasi Lonas. You know, here's where there's enough trees that you can recite them. I mean, it was just a glorious experience. We came with our whole family, with our matzah sandwiches, our egg sandwiches. We sat on a blanket, and it was just an incredible experience. But there's so much to see in Yerushalayim. And in Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zochet to see not only, as we have seen, Baruch Hashem, Chav Ches Iyar, Yerushalayim in our hands, but we should sing the praise of Hashem, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, and we'll see the full redemption of Yerushalayim. At the time of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, when Jews will come, like a gravitational pull from all over the world, converge on Yerushalayim, B'mehirah V'yameinu.